It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What if I did do it? Even though I admit to nothing and never will. What does that make me? And I'm not here just defending myself, but all those pickers out there who've been caught. Each and every one of them. Who has to suffer the shame and humiliation because of people like you.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are we not human? If we pick, do we not bleed?
On WGR.
I am not an animal.
Sports Radio 550.
So we'll do picks earlier because of the hockey game tonight. This happens. We've not been able to get quite enough clout to get them to move the games around.
Right, to accommodate our pick schedule. Right.
As good as it is.
It's not it's not elevated. But maybe if we had a sponsor for it, maybe then it would get that respect.
Maybe. But, you know, we can only dream. Yeah. I want it before we do it. How about Ryan Hasenauer here at Batavia Downs? So this guy, you know, we don't do as many on, you know, remote appearances as we used to, but sometimes you feel like they can't wait to have you there. Sometimes you feel like they don't know you're going to be there, right? So here's one where Ryan is so keen onto this show and this radio station that he looked up the candy draft.
Yeah, and he left us a very thoughtful note.
He looked up the candy draft. And he points out that this was 10 years and one day ago. So Halloween 2014, apparently, mm-hmm. is when we had the candy draft. I wouldn't know. I only know that app goes back one day.
Well, here's a clue. How old is your niece? Because she was involved in that with us.
Yeah, and that adds up. She's in her 20s.
Okay.
She would have been 10 years younger.
Right.
Right. So Madeline was in that draft. 10 years and one day. What he did, not only was bring us candy, but he brought us candy specific to which candy we drafted in that candy draft. And he points out here, sadly, I could not find Bulldog a Coffee Crisp. Couldn't get to Canada.
That's tough, yeah.
In time. But look at this. Raisinets. Junior Mints.
Who picked?
How many times?
Did you pick Raisinets?
Oh, I bet I did. Proudly, I bet I did. Made with whole fruit. Look at this. Who could turn this away? Made with whole fruit. Raisinets. That's a little bit. Actually, that's a little bit rich, isn't it? Whole fruit. Raisins.
Raisins are
whole fruit. It's not like they're oranges.
Raisins are for me a top five most disgusting thing on God's green earth. I cannot stand raisins. So cover them in chocolate. Thanks. I'm the guy that, like, I like trail mix. I go for trail mix and there's no, I cannot have raisins.
Here they are. The famous junior mints.
There they are.
Creamy mints in pure chocolate. Right. I mean, I want to swear.
Right.
With the joy I feel here right now, the pride.
Toothpaste wrapped up in stale chocolate is, I think, what it does. It say that on the box? Probably not. They probably.
I don't see the word toothpaste.
They don't boast that.
Let me check the ingredients. Confectioner's glaze. Yeah. That's not toothpaste. Is
well,
it
was thoughtful of him to bring some good candy too. So the Skittles are here. The Twix
the ones
are here.
You drafted.
I'm sure I'm responsible for that. Nestle Crunch Bar, a classic, and even the Butterfinger. I did not see any Butterfingers yesterday. I didn't have any in my my collection.
Funny enough, you just the Butterfinger candy bar just slipped out of your hand.
I just dropped it. Yes, I think that was a subconscious reaction. I couldn't handle it.
I think that's right.
I'll tell you, this last night was the first time that I can remember ever feeling the threat of running out of candy. It makes sense. I mean, it was such a beautiful night for Halloween. So we're usually busy anyway, no matter what the weather is. But it must have been busy. I feel like I had the same haul as usual, right? Like, okay, I have so much that there's going to be a bunch left over, and then I'll be, you know, like snacking on candy for the next 4 months. You know, whenever I want, I'm watching a hockey game. Oh, there's some Skittles downstairs. Because I don't leave them. I hide them.
Skittles.
And last night, very, very early on, I went in to refill the bowl. Because when it's nice enough, we'll go. I brought chairs down to the front of our walk, so kids didn't and families didn't have to come up the little stairs on our walk and then up the stairs to the porch. We went and just sat down. It was such a nice night, so I just went and sat down there. I had to run into the house to refill. I'm scooping into the bowl and go, oh my god, like I'm already on round two and we're gonna. So I had to. Usually I'm pretty. You know, here's three or four things, right? Just handfuls. Okay, two per customer now. And then by the end of the night, I was like one. One little fun size candy. I felt like such a jerk. But I was going to run out. Turned out I didn't run out. And once the lights went out, so to speak, 8 o'clock, things stopped. A family was a mother and her two small children were sitting right at the end of my walk, waiting. There's a nice the street light is super bright right there, waiting for a ride to come pick them up. And I saw them out there, and I had, I don't know, six or eight fun-size candy bars left. I just went and dumped them in the little girl's bag. I hear that. I'm in the clear here. I'm done.
You're signing off.
I'm signing off. But I'm glad they were there because I got cleaned right out. But I was nervous we were going to run out. So I'm sorry if people are out there used to bigger rations from my address. I had to cut down.
The Skittles, by the way, no ingredients are listed. There must have come in a box where they'd have – there are laws, right, where they would have to tell you what's in food. There's nothing at all is written here. Is that it actually at the bottom? It's too dark in here. I can't even read it if that's it. But I'm pretty sure it doesn't tell you anything about it.
No, I think that just says where it's manufactured is
yeah,
what I'm guessing
yeah.
that is.
Ashland, yeah. Massachusetts.
I don't know that I've ever noticed that they list the flavors on
quote
here.
Flavors. Yeah.
Grape, lime, lemon, strawberry, orange. I never noticed that before.
But
the classic, the OG. Oh, I know the flavor. Sure, I know the colors, but I've never seen it listed like that on the tiny little package.
The last thing on candy, I guess, sadly, the first thing I did when my kids got home, my daughter had her bag, I weighed it. Because yesterday I mentioned 27 right. pounds, and like, right. Wait, could you actually just accumulate 27 pounds of candy, like one person? And you said, you know, correctly, the bag wouldn't
it's gonna
hold
break,
up.
Break the bag, yeah.
So I weighed. It looked pretty full. Mm-hmm. 8 pounds. It was 8 pounds.
Respectable.
So eight pounds is a good night.
Yeah, all right.
It's not a record night, I think, probably, but it's a good night. 8 pounds of candy. And then you think, you know what? She's going to eat 8 pounds of candy over the next
2 days?
Month. I'm going to say month.
Month?
At least.
Really?
At least. Oh, yeah. It doesn't go that fast in our house.
I cannot. That's tremendous discipline. Well, I cannot remember Halloween candy lasting like to Thanksgiving. Just forget it. That's amazing. Great job. Remind
me to keep tabs on that.
All right, I will.
I think it lasts like a month.
That's really great.
It always feels like we have old Halloween candy in the in the house. Suddenly I've had a tough time pronouncing Halloween. All right, picks. So I'm up by 3.5.
Yes, indeed.
My Jets.
Your Jets.
My Jets last night. It was really kind of almost embarrassing for about a half. That was embarrassing. That would definitely qualify as embarrassing, the first half of that game.
How'd you like – it is where I checked out of the game. 14-10, Houston driving. They take a big sack and make a field goal. It's like a 43-yard field goal, I think. And, of course, the kicker is a witch. He drills it, and but there's a penalty. So, of course, first down, right, the guy leveraged the center out of the way illegally to try to block the kick. So, but back on offense for Houston, they're in a few more plays to get closer. I think it's like a 27-yard field goal now off the upright.
Love that.
And at the moment, right, 2.5-point spread, it's 14-10, would have been 14-13. The way the game had gone to that point, it was the fourth quarter already. It was realistically that could have been the final end, the end of the scoring.
Or maybe the Jets would have a field goal attempt to get it to four. But the Jets are not good at making field goals either.
Right, right. Just like from a spread standpoint, like as soon as they had to settle for a field goal there, in my head, anyone who was on the Texans was going, yeah, they're gonna miss the field goal. They took the field goal down, as they should have. They should have tried to score a touchdown. They did. They couldn't. I'm like, of course he's missing this kick. And he did.
You did really think that?
Yes, I did. And then I turned it off.
Of course he's not missing the kick, but he does.
Right.
I mean, 27 yards.
Right.
The Adams touchdown for 21-10, if you're on the side of the favorite, the team in the lead, -2.5 is the best.
Yeah.
Because they can't get you on without two scores. They can't get you.
Right.
Best they can do is 21-18, and you're still there.
Yep.
So there was never really any sweat there in that game, fourth quarter. Okay. Well, here we go. Week 9. I'm going to do it. I think you know I almost never do it, but I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the Bills.
Whoa!
-6. Maybe it's a sucker bet. I think it kind of smells like one, but I want to find out. Because this is like the good team's premise in picks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If Miami comes in and it's a field goal game or they win, hats off. I mean, that has just not happened.
Yep.
They come in here and they just get steamrolled. Not every time. The game in the snow was close. Even the playoff game was pretty close. But the Bills have had such easy times on offense with the Dolphins. If it is a close game, is it 34-31 or is it lower scoring? The total is 49.5. So you could see like a 27-24 sort of medium high.
I have a hard time seeing Miami stay in a game that isn't high scoring.
Yeah.
I don't think they are going to have a lot of success stopping Buffalo in this game. So, you know, I would expect the Bills to get to the 30s in this game. The question is whether Miami will be able to do enough on offense to make that interesting. So I think this game could be 34-10. Or 34-31. if the Bills are winning this game. For some reason, the Bills are just messed up on offense like they were in Baltimore or like they were in Houston, then you could be in for – then all bets are off if they look like that. But I feel like they're stepping the right way on offense, I feel like, and I wouldn't expect that to change against this team.
Bills -6. I think the – Chargers are interesting this week. I just kind of like for this pick that they're favored at Cleveland. I assumed different yesterday or Wednesday when thinking about this matchup. LA Chargers at Cleveland. I thought, like, why am I surprised? Like, the Browns,
mm-hmm.
It's the one win. But that was a fun win, and Winston seems to really change the outlook of the team. So, still, LA on the road is the favorite, -1.5, and I'm gonna look there because of it. It's interesting that they're favored. And they're not bad. They're starting to throw the ball now, by the way, the Chargers. Still minus money to make the playoffs. Very possible there's a Bills-Chargers first-round playoff game. 9-8 versus 12-5, something like that. 2-7. Pick 3, I'm going to go to primetime Minnesota. Sunday night, -5.5 against Indianapolis. Maybe a little Buster vibes here with the Colts making the move to Flacco. Everybody seems to love that. And the Vikings are coming off 2 straight losses. Matt Collar was in my head with this pick about that Rams loss where they were right in it. And short week on the road that maybe there's not too much to worry about with Minnesota. Although when pressure, Darnold is still pretty messy. I'll take Darnold over Flacco. I'll take Kevin O'Connell, the Vikings minus 5.5 at home Sunday night. I'm ready to see the Chiefs blow somebody out. Like, they just continue to win the close games. Even the game against New Orleans stayed fairly close, you know, for a while. And I've just never bought into the Bucs. Down Evans and Godwin still. I'll take Kansas City. It's 9.5. It's not cheap. But Kansas City minus 9.5 Monday night at home. They blow them out or they lose. Because they're just not going to win every close game forever. They either blow out the Bucs or they lose. And then I'll take, you know, a slightly sentimental pick. I will take Pitt. I went to a Pitt game.
This is the sentimentality you were there.
I went to a game. Right. Yeah, I'm a fan now.
Yep.
And they haven't lost yet, right? Well, I don't know if that's true, but Pitt plus 7.5 at SMU, I think it is. Classic rivalry.
Not even sure who they're playing.
I don't care.
Mr. Pitt over here.
Mr. Pitt.
His new favorite
team. From Seinfeld.
No, that is right. That's how it works. Like, you get. We were talking about traveling earlier. Like, we went to Spain in the summer, and
now your favorite college football team is Spain.
Yeah, go España. No, the flooding. Like, I feel like Malaga. I was living in Malaga for 4 days this summer. You have more empathy. You know, not that tragedies are to be ignored when it happens in places that you haven't been. But it hits a little closer to home if you've been, like, I'm seeing these cars piled up in these narrow streetways that I harrowingly tried to drive my rental car through. It was, like, terrible.
That's what I felt about the fires in Maui.
Right, sure.
Like, I stood right there by that tree, that famous tree.
It hits closer to home because you've been there. So I respect this Pitt affiliation, having been there now. All right, is it my turn now?
You're next, usually. Yeah. You go after me.
All right. Zach doesn't have any picks. All right, I'm gonna double down on Boise State. One went against our boy Sammy P last week on Boise State at UNLV, I think it was, and got it. Bigger number. They are hosting San Diego State, and it's 23.5 tonight again. But blue turf. They still have the blue turf, right? Boise State. Go Boise State. Minus 23.5. The running back looks great. Heisman favorite, I think.
One of them,
that's right. NFL-wise, all right, you say it all the time. I haven't had a great week yet, I don't think. I've been over 500 last couple weeks, so maybe I had a 4-1 week a couple weeks ago. So I guess that's a great week. But usually I take the good teams and don't worry about the big numbers. But I'm wading into the underdog cover the big number territory this week. So I'm going to go against you on the Chiefs. I'll take Tampa Bay plus the 9.5. Just don't ask me who Mayfield's going to throw the ball to, because it's Kate Otten, I think, pretty much, right? That's it. So thoughts and prayers there. But I like the number, and I still think the Chiefs are itching to get beat. So maybe this is the spot it can happen.
The receiver you want there is Jalen McMillan, it seems.
Right, right. The other Washington guy. Right.
One of
Polk's
the three.
Teammate.
And Odunze.
Odunze, right. Also, similarly, this is great. I'm going against the two top teams, two of the top teams in the AFC with big road underdogs. I'll take Denver in the 9.5 at Baltimore. The Denver's D has been good all year. And really, they've been good since giving up 70 points to Miami, I think, even going in way back into last year, like week 3 of last year.
Yep.
So I'll just trust them to keep it close enough. And I feel like Denver's the kind of team this can be risky, because Baltimore could easily beat them by 20, but they've lost to the Raiders. They've lost to the Browns. Like, I feel like this is a game that they could just struggle to find it and win, but not look great doing it. So, therefore, I like the spread, so I'll take Denver and the points. Couple of big home favorites to wrap things up. I'll take Philly minus 7.5 hosting the Jaguars. I feel like Philly has kind of found their fastball on offense, and I would expect that to continue down the field against Jacksonville. They just are very susceptible, I think. And so I'd expect Philly to be able to eat there with A.J. Brown especially. And I'll take the
Doug Peterson revenge game.
Right. I'll take the Bengals. I think the Jaguars probably hate their coach, so I'm not buying into the chances of them getting motivated for Doug Peterson because I think he's probably getting fired at the end of this year. I'll take the Bengals minus T. Higgins, minus 7.5, hosting the Raiders. There's my, well, I don't know, good team. How good are the Bengals? I mean,
They're 3-6.
For a bit, they were scoring on everybody, and the offense looked unstoppable. It seems like that's harder when Higgins is out, and he's probably going to be out again. So I don't feel good about really any of these.
On that note.
So I hope you didn't write any of these down out there.
I didn't write them down.
I don't feel good. I did.
If you did, if you wrote them down, crumple it up and throw it out.
The one I feel best about is Boise State.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know anything about Boise State other than they play on blue turf and they got a good running back.
And you're not even sure if that's still true?
Right, well, right. I yeah.
That's, why wouldn't it be?
Right. Why would you change something that works so well?
So, right. Next up, Sabres GM Kevin Adams. The Sabres are home tonight to the Islanders pregame at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog Football Friday on WGR. Bills and Dolphins Sunday. We're here at the Legends and Stars Memorabilia Show. Autograph guests about to start to appear. Joe Andreessen first up at 6. Tickets are $10. The autograph, that's for the show. The autograph prices are separate. You can find the details at legendsandstars.net. We go 4:30 with guests to 8:30 tonight, and then 10 to 5 tomorrow. Again, $10 gets in, 12 and under free. And, I mean, pretty good lineup tomorrow, including Eric Wood.
Eric's going to be here tomorrow?
Eric will be here tomorrow.
That's fantastic.
At least it says he is.
I believe it.
Hopefully he knows. Joining us now on the Western Hotline, Buffalo Sabres general manager Kevin Adams. Kevin, nice to talk to you again. I mean, the season isn't brand new anymore, but we're glad that we're going to have these semi-regular chats, and we appreciate your time in doing that with us.
No problem. How you guys doing?
Okay. So 10 games in, and I want to just get your, to start here, general observations. And I have a couple of friends who think they're sympathetic to the Sabres for having had to start the season in Prague. I don't think it's specific to Prague. I think it's more just that it was in Europe.
Yeah.
And you were there for so long. And I don't know, anecdotally that makes sense. I wonder if you think a slow start, it might be fair, or if you would just be somebody to kind of attribute the way the season started to that.
You know, it's funny. When you lose, yes. If we would have won, I would have said it was great. You know, I honestly, it was a little confusing for me because I loved our training camp. I thought our practices in Europe were excellent. They were intense. They were high-paced. The guys had great energy. And then for whatever reason, the two games, we looked sluggish. We looked slow, out of sorts. So I don't know. I mean, I think it was a great trip from an experience and the guys getting together and having time together and go to dinner and see a lot of different things that they probably wouldn't usually be able to do, obviously. So let's hope that that pays off down the road. But obviously going 0-2 in Europe wasn't the start we wanted. And that, you know, we had to turn the page quick. You know, you came back, and I thought our game, our home opener against L.A. was excellent. I mean, we found a way to lose that game with taking a couple late penalties, but we, in my mind, dominated the game. So, you know, you're sitting at 0-3, and, you know, you can have a little bit of woe is me, or you can dig in and work and raise the standard from there. You know, I think we've gone 4-2-1 since that start. So a little uneven. I think there's a lot to like, and there's some parts of our game that we don't like and we have to clean up.
Yeah, I would agree that since you came home, even that L.A. game, I think you certainly deserve better. I even liked, it's hard to say, like, you liked your team's game in a 5-2 loss, but there was a lot in the Florida game that I thought was good. I mean, the mistakes were glaring that cost a couple of first period goals against, but I thought overall, like, when you're in a game with Florida and they just don't have you hemmed in and there's not a lot of scoring chances, I feel like that's a win, like, to start the game anyway. I know eventually you got to find your way to some goals, but, and that felt like a game to me. Watching in the third period when it was still 3-2, I really, like, I always want you guys to score and I always want you guys to win. I felt like your team deserved another goal. I really wanted another goal. I wanted to tie it up, and then, of course, it kind of got sideways at the end.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you look at when we scored the second goal, I think it was Owen Power had a chance pretty shortly after that where we almost went up 3-2. And, you know, I didn't think we had our A game, to be honest, against Florida. But at the same point, I thought we did a pretty good job of not giving them a lot. You know, they didn't get a lot of grade A scoring chances, but that's a team that when you make a mistake, they make you pay. And, you know, once we got down a couple, then we had to open it up a little more, and that's where they got even a little bit more chance. So, you know, I agree with you, Bulldog. Like, there were some good things within that game, but it also wasn't good enough. And what I liked was our response the next day in practice, you know, extremely, you know, just a good hard work day, because our standard has to be higher than it's ever been. And that's been the message from day one here.
I'm glad you used that phrasing, A game. I've heard Alex talk about it this year a couple of different times, and maybe some other people as well. You know, you got to learn how to you know, flourish with a B game, like win a B game, get a B game to overtime even. And, like, I wonder if, like, what kind of learning process through your career as a player and into coaching and management now, like, is that a process guys have to learn how to win with a B game, or at least get a game to overtime? Because I feel like when this team, going back even, you know, 2 years now or more, when they're on, like, they're dancing. I mean, it's just like, you know, tape to tape and highlight reel stuff, and it's really good. And you're not going to be at that level every night. Your opponent isn't going to allow you to be at that level every night, even if you are capable of reaching that level every night. How important is it to find, like, an alternate game that is good enough to get points?
I think it's the difference between the good and the great teams, and a team that's on the bubble of making the playoffs and playoff teams. I mean, here's the reality in my mind, that just because you don't have your A game doesn't mean you can't win. You have to find ways within the structure of your game to be smart. And I think what you learn, I mean, you alluded to it a little bit there, as you gain experience in this league as a player, you learn that you're not going to have your best 82 games. You're just not. Like, you're not going to feel great. Your legs aren't going to feel great at times. But you have to then be smart enough to manage the game within that. So what that means is maybe don't extend your shifts. Maybe don't try to force that, you know, play that. Maybe just put it behind the defenseman and live to fight another day. You know, those type of things. Because I think this year when I really honestly evaluate our team, there's a lot of good things we're doing within games, but the big mistakes we've made have banded up in the back of our net, and you got to clean that stuff up. So that's us to learn and mature. But the reality is you're not going to be at your best every night, but the best teams still find ways, like you said, either getting it to overtime and you just scratch and claw and you get a point out of a game you don't deserve, or some nights you just flat out win games you don't deserve, and you have to find ways to do that through the course of a long season.
With Kevin Adams, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, in Batavia today for the Legends and Stars Memorabilia Show, which is underway. Again, thinking to ask you this, Kevin, with the perspective of the first 10 games under your belt, Lindy Ruff, I mean, so much excitement and nostalgia around his return this summer. You spoke many times on why you thought he was the choice. I don't know, any surprises or a couple of maybe things that you weren't expecting, if there are any, from watching him work sort of every day?
No, I have a lot of respect for Lindy, and like as you guys know, and what I explained after we hired and brought Lindy in, and just why I believe he's the right coach for this team. I've talked a lot about that, but I can give you a couple maybe examples of things that have jumped out to me of why he's such a good coach and has such a good feel. And the first one would be, after the Columbus game, that was not a good game. We I felt like we gave a point away in Pittsburgh. They scored late. You lose in overtime. You're a little bit stung by that. You go into Columbus. Now you lose that game, and it's a little, everybody's a little down. And I think as a player, you go the next morning into the meeting thinking, here we go. The coach is going to yell. He's going to show all this stuff. And Lindy was very positive in terms of what we can do and why we can clean certain things up that will turn into us being successful. And I do think it flipped the demeanor of our team. He talked about, get outside. It was a nice day in Chicago. Get a little fresh air. Feel the sun. And then we won the next three games in a row. So I think it's just having a little bit of the feel and experience he does. And, the second one I would tell you is just within the game, him, whether it's just subtle tweaks systematically or reacting to what the other team's doing that gives us a chance to be successful. And, I knew how good of a tactical coach Lindy is just from my experience with him, but I think it's even better now than it was, 10, 15 years ago.
Thank you. That first point, isn't that a Scotty Bowman trick? Lindy played for Bowman, and how he would always have the players not know just kind of what they were in for the next day.
Blast them after a win, love them up after a loss, that kind of thing.
Well, I agree, and the art of coaching is the feel of knowing when to push, when the guys need to be, a hard practice, like after the Florida game versus maybe a hug and a little love after the Columbus game. That's just how I think the best coaches that I've been around in my career have a knack for doing that. And I just think that, Lindy's been spot on there, and the guys respect and believe what he's talking about and the rest of the coaches are talking about every day, which I think goes a long way. And, now we have to do it. We have to turn the excitement in the locker room and the belief into points. And now this is a big stretch of hockey right in front of us here.
And your coach is making a move tonight to try to jumpstart an important player who's been struggling here, Dylan Cousins, still with no goals on the year, Kevin. The move to the wing, I don't know, is that an organizational decision, or is that just Lindy trying something and, like, if he gets going, we'll bump him back to center soon?
Well, I mean, I think it's, we do things collaborative for sure. I'll sit in typically every morning and early with the coaches and just understand kind of whatever the day is and what we're working on and why. We'll have conversations on roster lines. I mean, coaches coach, and I make sure that I give input or I bring up things that I think are important, but they're the ones on the bench and have to make these decisions. But, I think this is another example of just some experience probably that Lindy brings to the table. And this is sometimes you need to get guys out of their own head a little bit and just change it up. Dylan is obviously, for me, he's at his best when he's a power forward. He's getting it in the forecheck. He's hounding pucks. He's using his speed. He's taking the puck to the net. Sometimes a wing, you get a little better opportunity to do that just because you're not quite as, defensively, you're not, quite as responsible is maybe the wrong way to say it, but you guys know what I mean. You're just freed up a little bit. And I also think, just when I look at our forward group right now, I see Dylan Cousins long term as a really, really good centerman for us, but you want to have versatility. I've really liked the first line, third line, fourth line for the most part this year. We've struggled with that second line. So, I think after 10 games, this is probably the time to try to, mix it up and see if we can spark the guys. And, Dylan in particular, I think he's got 30 shots on net in 10 games. Right. I mean, it honestly wouldn't shock me, wouldn't have shocked me if we were having this conversation and he would have 5 goals right now. He's just been around the net. The puck just hasn't gone in. And if you get off to a start and you have 5 goals in 10 games, and then maybe in the middle of the season you go 10 games without a goal, it doesn't feel as bad. But, it's tough when it's right off the get-go. And he puts a lot of pressure on himself. So he's an important player, and we need him to get going for sure.
Kevin, quickly, Jack Quinn, maybe a different explanation, but I've heard a lot of people wondering about his skating, maybe his physical status here. Do you have any thoughts on whether that might have merit?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jack is this is the best way to say it. It is tough when you miss a lot of time. The game, I always explain it to people, is the game moves really fast, right? Until you get yourself, your feet under you, and the game starts to slow down, everything's going to look off. Your hands, your feet, your head, everything looks a little bit off right now. So Jack's feeling that. I have no doubt that Jack Quinn's going to get back to the Jack Quinn that we know and believe in, and he's a critical guy for us. I just think I would start for him by just, come to the rink and put a smile on your face and go to work. And just once he gets enough reps under his belt back, get the pace that he needs to play at, he'll be fine.
We're going to wrap up here in just a couple of minutes. I want to ask you about Devin Levi, who's getting the net tonight. It's been a couple of weeks since he got a start. Maybe that Columbus game was the last one, I think, that you referenced a couple of times in our conversation already. How do you feel like that's going? Is he still – because he's still young enough and new enough that I think it's fair to wonder if he needs to be playing more than the opportunity is presenting itself so far.
Yeah, I think some of it has been just our schedule. We haven't played as many games in a tight window as typically you see, but it's going to pick up here starting our November 1st. You look at our schedule, it's a little heavier. I mean, we've had 2 weeks in a row of a couple games in a week, which is rare in the NHL. So,
yeah.
I think that's part of it. We did win the 3 games in a row and weren't playing back-to-back. So, you're kind of in Lindy's, mind kind of going with the guy you feel is maybe hot right now. So we have no concern on, will he get enough games or won't. But there's, of course, always something you monitor and we'll talk about. But we have a lot of belief in Devin and excited to see him get going tonight again.
10 games played in October, 14 in November, back-to-back here this weekend at Detroit tomorrow, and, of course, home tonight to the Islanders. Kevin, thanks for your time today. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
You too. Sabres GM Kevin Adams, 6 o'clock pregame from KeyBank Center. Paul Hamilton will join us then as fans start to congregate near us for autographs here at the Legends and Stars show. Possible that Paul, I don't know the music for tonight.
Paul and I talked about this
today.
The
noise here could be on par with there.
We talked about this. I talked to Paul on the phone while I was driving out here, and I said, I look forward to us having dueling challenges here. Maybe we won't be able to hear you either, or you won't be able to hear us or whatever. It's just, because the band is always so loud, but it's a little raucous in here.
It'll get going more so in a few minutes.
Yep.
Okay, timeout first. If you missed anything this morning, Sean McDermott, Kevin Adams there, Sammy P, whoever you want to hear, Joe, Sneaky Joe, maybe you missed Sneaky Joe, check it all out at the Audacy app, AUDACY, or at WGR550.com. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here from Batavia Downs. This is WGR. The Dunn Tire Drive at 5 today was presented by Dunn Tire, the official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, brought to you as well by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Excelsior Orthopedics Express. If sidelined with a sprain, strain, or break, get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express. We talked with Sal at 4, if you want to go back for that, and he gets the scoop on some injuries with Sean McDermott on the Extra Point Show. And today it was only that Reggie Gilliam was ruled out, but Benford, Amari Cooper, Samuel, questionable. Their status is kind of iffy. The Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Now, and I'm telling you, it'll be a dash. We go around the league in a dash.
Woo!
Brought to you by Dash's Markets.
Gotta hustle.
Celebrating 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. Game other than the Bills game you're most interested in, excited for this week?
My attention is almost exclusively on the Chiefs, which won't be hard. They play on Monday night, so your attention won't have to be diverted during the Bills game or anything. But I'm very much focused right now on wanting to see the Chiefs get an L before they come here in a couple 2 weeks from Sunday. And I know the game after this is easier than Tampa. Are they maybe? Is it
Denver?
Denver. Thank you. Well, maybe that doesn't have to be easy. I don't know. Maybe they're equal, but Boy, it'd be nice if Evans and Godwin weren't out for Tampa, because I'd feel like that could be a real fun game. But I just want the Chiefs to get dinged. The Bills obviously have to hold serve if this goes all the way here, because the Bills are sitting at 6-2. The Chiefs don't have a loss yet, but all I need is them to have one, and the Bills beat the Dolphins and the Colts, and I'm playing for the one seed 2 weeks from Sunday, and that's a hell of a thing.
Detroit Green Bay is great if Love plays. Malik Willis, it should be said, has done fine. I mean, it's not even just him running. I mean, they've thrown the ball with him, not a ton, but he's come through for them. Tennessee gave him away, and then he beat Tennessee. So respect for him, but Love is better. And if he plays, Lions-Packers at Lambeau is really nice. So that would be my pick. In a weird, macabre sort of way, Dallas-Atlanta. Just to see. Dallas is like a version of the Jets, you know? You sort of want to see them. You want to see it implode. Interesting matchup there. Okay, next, the Sabres and the Islanders. Pre-game coverage begins from downtown Paul Hamilton. And here from us, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog in Batavia. Stay tuned for that. 7:05 face-off tonight here on WGR.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.